Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
God, thank you, Jesus. Did you bring a Bible this morning?
Yes.
Good. Open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 10. We're going to start there. We've been on a series since the beginning of the year talking about and dealing with the fact that we started this year, like we do every year, with a 21-day prayer and fasting. Amen. And during that, the Lord gave me three things specifically we are praying for: consecration, direction, and anointing. Amen. And in that, we've been, obviously, we haven't exhausted these things, but we were talking about some of these things, and we dealt with consecration and what that means and how we need to live this, because, you know, it's simply put, it's a dedication to God.
Yes.
But we got to figure out how God says we're to dedicate our lives. We can't just dedicate our lives however we want. We got to do it the way God said.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Then we were talking about direction. Say direction.
Direction.
So direction is the will of God. Now, everybody wants to pray God's will for their life, meaning, Lord, what do you have for me? Who am I supposed to marry? Where am I supposed to go to school? Where am I supposed to live? And that's all proper, sure. But we got to understand first and foremost that God's will is eternal.
Right.
Salvation. First and foremost. And it has two parts of it. Number one, it's getting you what we call saved, born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to say, unless you're born again, you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
You must be born again. So first part of that is, you know, we must be born again. We got to come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Understand that he is the Son of God. He paid for our sins. He died on the cross and God rose him from the dead. He's not a dead God.
That's right.
He's the true and living God.
Amen.
Amen. So first part is we get born again. Second part of that is we lead others to him. Through our life, through our example, through witnessing, preaching, teaching, whatever we're doing, called to do, that when people look at you, they should see that there's something different about you. They should see as you continue to walk with God, you should become a reflection. I preached this maybe a Tuesday night or two ago. You should be a reflection, not a deflection.
Amen.
Right? That when people see you, they should see the Christ in you, that there's something different about you. Amen? That will draw them to him. So that's God's will. Everything else is secondary.
Right.
Jobs, careers, and yes, that's all part of it. And absolutely. God wants you blessed. He wants you to increase. He wants, sure, we know that. We've got the verses for that, but salvation has to be first.
Yes.
That is the will of God for everybody's life, especially right now. If you're not paying attention,
yes,
if for some reason you just crawled out from underneath a rock, the events that are happening overseas right now could truthfully, they could be the events that initiate the final things. We're that close. That's where we're living. Amen. So we need to know the will of God. We got to walk with God. Amen. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, and we're beyond beginning.
Yeah.
When you begin to see these things, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Well, then the last thing we're praying about is anointing. Say anointing.
Anointing.
So the anointing that we're praying about is it's God's presence. You can't have his anointing without his presence. You know, this is why we've adopted this saying around here. My wife said it during worship. I don't remember what she said particular, but it's these things are not from Jesus. They're with him. Salvation's not from him. It's with him. His anointing, it's not from him. It's with him. Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. It's who he is. He is the Christ. The anointed one and his anointing is what that means. You can't separate the anointing from the anointed one.
That's right.
So if we're going to walk in his anointing, we've got to be in his presence. And that's what we want in our lives. We want his anointing on our lives. We want his presence in our life. That way we can do what and have what Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day, what day? The day that you realize you can't do this without him.
Amen.
Amen. Every one of us, we've got to come to that point. Now, some people haven't figured that out yet. Some people think that they're still their own gods. They can do it their way, live however they want, act however they want, and God's just going to bless. I say it this way, they expect God to bless their mess. They're going to just, you know, they've treated God with this understanding. Well, it's easier to ask for repentance than permission. That doesn't work with God. That's how people treat things, and they do things down here. But that doesn't work with our God. That we've got to find out, Lord, how do we do this? When we come to the realization we can't do this without Him or His anointing. You know, because there are many people that they give their life to Jesus. They're born again, as we say it, the scriptures tell us. And I do believe that they're going to heaven. There are many things that will try to distract them from getting there. I don't see in the scriptures, and I don't believe the once saved, always saved, because there's too many warnings in the scriptures about that. So I think it's harder if you just meet Jesus once and then expect that you're going to go 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years and never get in His presence, never walk with Him, talk with Him, and think you're going to make heaven. That's kind of a hard thing to come up with when you read the scriptures. So we need His presence in our life. We need His anointing on our lives. Jesus told His disciples, you know, we see this in the book of Acts, go and wait for the promise. Right. We dealt with this a couple services ago. And do not depart until what? The Holy Spirit came upon them that endued them with power. That's the anointing, the presence of God. That's why Jesus said it's expedient in the King James that I should go. It's profitable for you. Yeah. He's telling His disciples, it's better that I leave this planet and I go sit at the right hand of the Father, because when I go, I will send another, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, He's come here to be our helper, to bring that anointing of God upon our lives, that we can walk in that anointing and be able to have all the things that the anointing brings. Amen. So let's look at it again, that it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be lifted from His shoulders and His yoke off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed, thank you, Jesus, because of the anointing. And that's what we're dealing with right now. We're talking about the anointing. And we've been talking about this over the last couple of services, you know, a little bit here and there, kind of in and out, and a little bit back and forth on how do you get the anointing? How do you protect the anointing? Because it was, I believe, Dr. Hagin, Brother Hagin, he's in heaven now as well, but I believe he's the one who said, the anointing's easy to get. It's hard to keep it. Because you can come into church services all over the world right now where the anointing of God is present, God Himself is present, and you can sit in a service like this and you can feel the anointing, because the anointing's tangible. Yes. It's not the goosebump. But though sometimes, you know, people, they have goosebumps. Praise God for the goosebump, but the goosebump isn't God. Right. Right? But you can come into a service, God can be moving, it can be during the worship service, tithes and offerings, the word service, altar call, and God's moving, God's doing, and you can feel the presence of God, and God's presence will get on you. Yes. Praise God. Even those that aren't born again can experience the presence of God, the anointing of God. Sure. But if they don't do anything with it, then they can walk out of here and enjoy it but for a moment, but then it's not God's intent that it goes away. But this world will drain you of the anointing of God. Yes. People will drain you from the anointing of God. Amen. So it's easy to get the anointing. It's hard to keep the anointing. But it's not impossible. Because God showed us through His word how to keep the anointing, how to walk in the anointing. How do you think the disciples then became the apostles? How do you think that many of them, actually all of them, how do you think they went to their deaths preaching with boldness? How do you take a Stephen, who's not even the preacher? Right. He's a helps worker. Yeah. He's serving at the distribution table. How do you take a man like that who preaches the word of God, and then as they're stoning him to death, he doesn't say, God, curse them. He says, Lord, don't lay this at them. Wow. Don't put this, hold this, what he's saying, don't hold this against them. Yeah. Forgive them. How do you do that? I'm going to tell you right now, I walk with God, I'm anointed by God, but you remove this anointing, I'm going to say, God, sick him. And if you don't, I will. Yep. I still remember a few things. Thank God we buried that old guy. But come on, you can't do this without the anointing. Amen. How can you be, I'm talking about some of these apostles, how could you be on the cross, the tree, being crucified and still preaching repentance? As you're dying a horrible death. Yep. You can't do this without the anointing. You can't live this life without the anointing. There's so much darkness and hate and issues and problems on this planet all by itself.
Right.
Forget about persecution. Forget about somebody not liking a little Facebook post, which is not persecution, by the way.
Amen.
That's just somebody who's got no real backbone to say it to your face, so they got a little virtual backbone. Amen. Amen. Don't get me going on social sites, because you know how much I love them. Go to Acts chapter 19.
Thank you, Lord.
We need the anointing of God. We need the presence of God. Amen. And today I want to talk about one way that you can get the anointing and keep the anointing.
Thank you, Lord.
Because in our modern churches today, most of our churches today, faith is not the issue. I want that to set on you for just a moment. Faith is not the issue. The anointing is the issue. We live in a generation now, even in the church, that technically speaking, we've got so much faith. You should be able to move mountains, according to this, like Jesus said, speak to this mountain, be thou cast in the sea. Jesus said that. Red letters, right? You've read that in the Bible. This generation has so much knowledge and wisdom to the word, but the problem is they're just not walking in the power that they're supposed to walk in. That does not mean we're supposed to go and cast Wachusett into the Atlantic. No, but Jesus was making a point. You have no idea the potential. When you understand how to walk in the anointing is what he's saying. When you learn how to stay in the anointing of God, you have no idea the type of authority that you can walk in. Amen?
Amen.
So Acts 19, this is an interesting account. Everybody, you've heard me reference this a time or two. Maybe you've read it a time or two. Acts 19, let's start in verse 13. Actually, let's start in verse 11. It says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. That's pretty cool. But God's no respecter of persons. If Paul did this, so should you. Or so can you. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. And so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Now, simply put, you know, we pray, we call them prayer cloths today. We believe that. We've seen that. When the anointing of God, because the anointing of God is tangible, that we can pray over and, you know, you can bring that to and do and minister. It's the anointing. It's not the handkerchief or the napkin. It's the anointing, because it's tangible. And it didn't just, and it said that they took them off of the body of. So, I don't know, was Paul actually praying for them, or did he just have a handkerchief in his pocket and somebody said, oh, let me grab that.
Yeah.
Because when the anointing gets on you, it is transferable. That's another message, but the anointing, it's real, it's tangible. It functions, it does what God says it's going to do. So these miracles were happening not because of Paul, but because of the anointing that was on Paul. And because of the power that was in Paul. Not his power, God's power. That comes with his anointing. Because again, you cannot separate the Christ, the anointed one, from his anointing. So when his anointing comes, the same things that Jesus did, this is why he told his disciples, these things that you see me do, you shall do, but greater. Not better. Just more. There's more of us, is what he was saying. Amen. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took it upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you, or we command you, by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons, one of Sceva, a Jew, a chief priest, which did so. So their dad is a priest. Their dad did this. They witnessed this. They had faith for this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, right? See, faith wasn't the issue here. They had enough faith to recognize there was a demon or demons. They had enough faith to recognize, wait a minute, This has to go. They knew it. They understood it. They had enough faith to step out and say, all right, let's do this. We can do this. Faith wasn't the issue. Verse 15, then the evil spirit, well, let me finish. He goes, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. So they recognized, they heard it from Paul, they witnessed Paul, they had faith for it. They knew it, it's only by the name of Jesus, they had faith for it. They watched their dad, they had faith for it. They did it because they had faith. You don't do things unless you believe you can do it. That's faith. Every one of you sat down when I said be seated. You had faith that that seat would hold you up, that your blessed assurance wouldn't end up on the floor, right?
Yep.
And you didn't even think about it. You just did it. Why? Because somewhere along the line, somebody taught you that you put your blessed assurance in a seat and it'll hold you up. And over time, you built your faith that you don't even think about it now. You just do it. See, faith is not the issue here. 15. The evil spirit answered. Now, just because the evil spirit answered doesn't mean that they couldn't do what they were doing. Because this has happened before. Jesus, we see this, that the demons, when Jesus walks into, all he has to do is walk into a place. I know some of you have experienced that. I've experienced that a time or two. You just walk into a place and demons manifest. It's like, I didn't do anything, to quote my daughter. I didn't do it. That was her famous line as she was growing up. We didn't do anything. I didn't come here to cast out demons.
Right.
I just came here to buy my coffee.
Yeah. Literally.
But, see, when you walk in the anointing,
yes.
See, demons recognize anointing. Demons recognize authority.
Yes.
You can't have the anointing without his authority. So the demons, they responded to Jesus a time or two. Did you come here to torment us? Did you come here to, it's not our time yet. And Jesus told them every time, shut up.
Yeah.
But there was a time or two that he asked, who are you? Mm-hmm. Not because he didn't know who they were, but so the disciples could understand.
Right.
Madman of Gadara. Mm-hmm. The guy who was living in the tombs. He didn't ask the demon. He knew exactly who the demon was. But he asked for their sake, who are you? We are legion, for we are many. Some scholars say there could be 1,500 demons in that one guy. But what I love about our Jesus, get out. And that was the point. Jesus was trying to show his disciples, listen, you got to understand, with my name, with my authority, with my anointing, it doesn't matter if there's one or 1,500. They all have to respond. Amen. So it's not uncommon for demons because demons will try to mess with you. Now, this isn't a teaching on demons and casting out demons, but we're dealing with this for just a moment because it's a great picture. So again, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Who do you think you are? Now, I like how my pastor says it. These demons recognize something. They recognize authority. They recognize anointing, but they also recognize lifestyle.
Yes.
They know who you are. To think that they don't, you're deceiving yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, they know if you're living and walking the walk that allows the authority to do what you're doing.
That's right.
Has nothing to do with faith in this moment. It has everything to do with lifestyle.
Good.
How you're living, how you're walking, how you're talking, who you're fellowshipping with, who you're not. Where you're going, where you won't. Amen. These demons knew these boys. They had the faith, they just didn't have the lifestyle to back it. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You haven't been given permission to do this because you don't have the lifestyle to back the authority and the anointing that comes with what you're trying to do. Faith was not the issue. Then, of course, verse 16, it says, and the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them, overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they were naked, wounded, and running off. The only good thing that comes out of this account is everybody realized, don't mess with demons.
Yes.
Because they know who you are. They know, not judging, I'm only back off of what my wife said earlier, They know if you were in the nightclub last night, but you're playing Christian on Sunday morning. They know what you were doing yesterday. They know what you were doing on your way here. They know what you're doing when you think nobody's watching. They know your lifestyle. So because of that, they'll use that against you. And they'll deal with you. Amen. Now let's go to another account, because if you want a title for this, I'm simply calling this Full of Faith but Powerless. Full of Faith but Powerless. Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Let's go over to verse 15. Matthew 17. Well, 14. Matthew 17, 14, it says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed." That's what King James says. He's a lunatic. I know a few. "He is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and into the water." Now, he doesn't just fall. This demon has possessed this kid and tries, basically, a spirit of suicide is on this kid. And this demon causes, whenever there's a fire, whenever there's water, to try to jump in the fire or drown himself. That's a horrible place to live. And the father understands that, and he's like, he comes to, all right, well, Jesus and his disciples are casting out demons. They're dealing with this thing. And he understood. This is not normal. This is demonic. And he comes to the disciples, because Jesus is up on the Mount Transfiguration has taken place. He's up in the mountain, and he's with God. And they come to the disciples like, listen, my son needs, can you cast this demon out of my son? But they can't. So when Jesus comes down, this is when the man comes running to Jesus and says, listen, can you do something, please? Like any good parent would. "I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out?" Now, if you were to go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, this is when Jesus sends his disciples out. And he gives them authority. He anoints them. And he says, go out, lay hands on the sick, heal every sickness and disease, cast out demons and unclean spirits wherever you go. God gave them the authority. God gave them the anointing. God gave them. Jesus deputized them, if you want to say it that way, to go out and do with his name, his anointing, with his permission to go. And they did. In fact, they come back to Jesus and they're rejoicing. I don't know about you, but if I saw somebody, you know, sick, dying, and they got healed right away, or demons, in this case, harassing, tormenting people, and the demons had to leave, mute, speak, blind, see. Sometimes that's physical, sometimes that's demonic.
Right.
Ears open, sometimes physical, sometimes demonic.
Right.
And whatever the case is, that miracles are happening. Every place they went, every hand they laid on, every demon they cast out had to respond.
Yes.
And you know what? They come back, Jesus, this is amazing. We can't believe it. In your name. These demons are subject to us. They recognize it's not us, it's you. It's your anointing.
Yes.
It's your name.
Yes.
I love Jesus' response. So? That impresses you?
Right.
Read the Bible.
Yes.
That's pretty much his attitude about this.
Yeah.
That's what you're excited about?
Yeah.
He's kind of like, how long have you been with me?
Yeah.
Have you noticed? There's no struggle here. There's no fight here. I say go, they go. I say stop, they stop. I say come out of the grave, he comes out of the grave. He goes, you know, I want to rejoice over that. I saw Satan fall like lightning.
Yes.
I was there when he was booted out of heaven. He fell so fast, it was like a streak of lightning. He goes, If you're going to rejoice, rejoice over this, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
This, let me paraphrase it in a sense, give you the John Kaminsky version of it. This is something every believer has a right to do. Every believer has the authority to do.
Yes.
In my name, by my anointing.
That is so good.
The Great Commission wasn't just given to the church,
right,
building, priests. It was given to every believer. And that's what he's trying to get them to see. Listen, this is not a big deal in the kingdom.
Right.
Everything is subject to my name.
Yes.
It's not a faith issue. But they come to him and say, why couldn't we do this? And he says, well, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you that if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence in yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, however, to answer your question, this one, this demon, only comes out by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Now, I've preached it. I've heard it preached many different ways. And, you know, of course, one of the great things about walking with our God, studying the scripture, is each and every time we read it, each and every time we open it, each and every time we get deeper into it, God can bring more understanding, greater revelation. Amen. You know, and over the years, we've read this, we've studied this, and it's like, all right, so only certain demons come out by prayer and fasting. I don't entirely believe that, but I'll go back to that in just a moment. One of the first things that we've got to understand is he deals with here is their unbelief,
yes,
the faith portion of it. If you believe, that's what he said, if you believe, all you can need, you just need a little bit of faith. Think about what he's saying. All you need is a little bit of faith to deal with any demonic force. It doesn't take much. Just a little bit of faith. But he says, of course, now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And sure, there's a place in this truth to it that I believe that the unbelief part of it, their faith being built, sure, by prayer and fasting. You spend time with God. You spend time with God talking about his word, studying his word. Absolutely. If you don't know something, you're ignorant to it. Even the Apostle Paul said that. Listen, brethren, I would not have you ignorant about spiritual matters. And then he goes on to deal with the gifts of the Spirit. All nine of them. And he says, this is how they work. This is how they function. This is the purpose of them. But you can't do this without God. But I don't want you ignorant about these things. Number one, I don't want you not knowing that they're there. Most of the modern church has no idea that God's still working. Most of the church today comes to church because that's what we do. And they have no idea why they come to church. Well, I came, I put my time in, I heard a nice message, I kind of sort of feel like I get it, maybe, I don't know, but we'll do it again next week. Keep coming, and hopefully sooner or later, faith comes by hearing, you'll start to get it, revelation will come, sure, praise God. So there's times when you're dealing with things that you do need to get into your prayer closet. You do need to spend time fasting to deal with yourself, to get rid of some of that clutter, to humble yourself.
Yeah.
Amen. And you're talking to God about his word, that he brings understanding and revelation to it, to build your faith. Absolutely. But also, some demons, because we just dealt with this with the sons of Sceva, faith was not the issue. It was their lifestyle. They didn't have the lifestyle to back what they were doing. They had the faith for it, just not the lifestyle to back it. This demon didn't not respond to the disciples because it was a lack of faith. Oh, they had faith. Come on, they're walking with Jesus. They're walking with the water walker himself.
Yeah.
The storm ceaser. Not Caesar. Cease-er. If that's a word. This is the guy, respectfully, this is the man, their pastor. Then when he's got to feed the multitudes, he doesn't send them out to buy. He's like, well, what do you got?
Yeah.
He didn't do it once. He did it multiple times.
Yeah.
In fact, one time he did it. Philip, what are we going to do here? I don't know. And it says that Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but he was testing. He's like, have you got this yet?
Right. Yeah.
Have you figured this out yet? Have you figured out who I am yet?
Right. Yeah.
You say you do, but have you figured it out? And he did. He broke the bread, fish, blessed it, and fed the multitude until Angel and Justin were full. That takes a whole lot of bread and fish.
Yep.
I'm in that mist too.
Yeah.
But the Bible says that he did it multiple times until all were full, satisfied. This wasn't you just had a bite and go. No, they were satisfied. They couldn't eat anymore, in other words. This is that Jesus. Faith wasn't an issue here. They knew who he was. They knew the authority. However, how many times as we go through the scriptures do we see that his disciples, they got attitude problems. They got issues. Have you ever heard the phrase, the terminology for two disciples that Jesus called them the sons of thunder? Heard that phrase? Sons of thunder? His disciples had some attitude. They had some issues that they were still working on, that God was still dealing with. James and John. You know, we know John as John of the Beloved. We picture him as this sweet, lovey-dovey type of guy. But that same John, when they rejected Jesus in one of the Samaritan cities, they wouldn't allow him to lodge there and preach there. They walked out and they said, Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven just as Elijah did? That's that John the Beloved. This is the guy who loves everybody. Now he wants to kill everybody. This is Jesus' ministry team. Peter takes off a guy's ear. The same sons of thunder one time, they're all reasoning within themselves. Which one of us 12 is the greatest? Which one of us is going to sit on either side of Jesus? Now, it was those two boys again, the sons of thunder. Now, that's bad enough, but the other 10 wanted to kill him for it. This is Jesus' team. So even though they're walking with Jesus, even though they're deputized by Jesus, even though the anointing of Jesus, they're still not right in here completely. God's still dealing with them. Just like he's dealing with every one of us. Just like he's still working on every one of us. Amen. So when Jesus said, this type only comes out by prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting brings you to a place where not only are you building faith, but you're allowing God to deal with you.
Amen.
Amen. If we were to go to Isaiah chapter 58, it talks about a type of prayer and fasting. In fact, one of them, it starts off with these people are praying and they're fasting. And God says, I'm not impressed at all. He goes, you guys are doing all this stuff, but let me paraphrase it. It's a joke. You claim you're doing this in humility. It's false humility. You're putting on a show because everything that you're supposed to be doing, with, and it's not getting revelation, it's dealing with their lifestyle, dealing with their attitudes and their actions.
Yes.
And he said, everything that you're doing, you know, in the, putting on the show of fasting, getting before me, but you're still oppressing, you're still stealing, you're still robbing, you got this attitude. He goes, if you want to fast, this is the type of fast I want, that when you get before me, you actually humble yourself before me so I can begin to deal with your attitude.
Right.
I can begin to deal with the issues and problems in your life.
Right.
Amen? In fact, that's your homework assignment. Go read Isaiah 58. But Jesus begins to deal with them and says, this type only comes out, this demon only comes out by prayer and fasting. So I do believe that one faith is attached to it. Absolutely, because that's how I've preached it. But the Lord's been dealing with me on this part of it too. That there are certain demons, even you, believer, born again, spirit-filled, going to church, paying your tithe, worshiping every service, that demons recognize you're not living the lifestyle. You're putting on a, forgive it, but you're putting on a show. You've been self-deceived. Somebody or something has convinced you that the lifestyle you're living is okay. Because after all, you go to church. You pay your tithe. It's called a doctrine of a demon. And to think that that doesn't infect a church, absolutely it does. The culture you and I live in right now, the church season we live in right now, most churches don't even open this anymore. Most churches won't say, they're telling you don't read the red letters. They're telling you don't read certain epistles. They're telling you that the Old Testament's not for today. Well, that's funny. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to do away with the law or the prophets, but I come that I might fulfill it.
Amen.
And I came that I might fulfill it so you can fulfill it.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
But we're being told today because, after all, this is offensive. It's not politically correct. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I cannot find a politically correct, being politically correct verse in here.
That's right.
But I did find that Jesus said, listen, when you preach this, you're going to offend some people.
Sure.
I find in there Jesus, when he said to his disciples, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring the sword. I came to bring division. When you live this, it's going to bring divisions. Those who want this are going to walk it. Those who don't are going to repel it. And if they can't repel God, who do you think they're going to repel? You. It's going to bring division. Amen. But in this case, Jesus, again, he's dealing with his disciples saying, listen, this type only comes out by prayer and fasting. Certain demons, they do respond. Now, again, this isn't a teaching on demonology, but when we do go through the scriptures, we do find out there's different rank and file. Don't overread what I'm about to say, please. But it doesn't take a whole lot of faith to cast out the demon of postnasal drip. Some of you are trying to figure out what I just said. Demon of postnasal drip? There's a demon for that? I don't know. There could be. Some people treat it that way. Sure, there's spirits of infirmity. There's spirits that bring issues and problems. We know that. The scriptures prove that.
Yeah.
But if you're going to deal with a demon that's got somebody bound, that demon knows if you're bound to the same thing. If you have a lying spirit, don't tell me you're running around laying hands on and casting demons out of other people. They think they are. Because again, demons don't have to possess, they just have to indoctrinate. And how do they do that? They do that by talking to your flesh. This is why Galatians chapter 5 says there's a war going on.
Yes.
Between the Holy Spirit leading you and the lusts of your flesh. And whichever one you bow to, that's the one that's ruling your life, running your life.
Yeah.
Demons aren't going to necessarily just speak to you. Some do. And if you're at that point, we can deal with those demons. And you've opened yourself up to them. So it does happen. But generally, they speak to you through your flesh. What your flesh likes, what your flesh wants. Your flesh will run to one of two things, what it fears or what it lusts after. So that's what demons speak about. That's what they speak to. They begin to deal with you. They begin to adjust you. What would possess Peter to just think, okay, they're arresting Jesus, let me take the sword out and just take off his ear? I don't think he was going for the ear. And I don't think he was a bad shot either. But in that moment, because he just came out of a time of prayer,
right.
How can you be in the presence of God, anointed with God, then all of a sudden draw the sword and want to kill somebody? Or when God has said, listen, Satan's come to sift you,
yes. But
I prayed for you. When you come back and you argue against your pastor,
yeah. When
he says, in this case, Jesus, God showed me, I know this is what's going to happen. Satan's coming for you. No, I won't. No, I won't. All right, Pete. Shut up for a second and just listen to me. You're going to do this. You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. But don't worry. I've prayed for you.
Amen.
You will come back.
Yes.
And when you do, you're going to help the brethren.
Amen.
In other words, you're going to help. You'll be living something that you're going to help bring other people out from under. Because they're going to find themselves in the same position. And you're going to be saying, hey, listen, I was there and God restored me. God helped. But you can't do it without God. It took Jesus finding me to get me back into that place. And what did Peter do? Exactly what Jesus said he was going to do. But he had just come out of a time of prayer. He came out of a time of worship. How do you do that unless something in here says, go for it? You're just still not right. Some of us have some issues we're still dealing with, and God's dealing with us. And let him continue to deal with you.
Amen.
Amen. But when Jesus says again, this one comes out only by, demons know. They know your lifestyle.
Yes.
They watch. They pay attention. You know, the scriptures deal with this. We call them familiar spirits.
Yes.
It's their job, their assignment, to get familiar with your life. It doesn't mean that you have to listen to them. Doesn't mean you have to bow to them. Doesn't mean that you got to do what they say. No. You fight those. You repel those. By the authority of Jesus Christ, they run from you.
Yes.
But they were watching you long before you even knew there was a demon. They've been at this for a very long time. That's why great-granddad, granddad, dad, and now you all deal with the same problems. Well, it's in my family. Yeah, because that demon's been helping you guys all along. Amen. But it's the lifestyle. Yes, it is faith. That's part of it. But also that lifestyle. These boys, these 12 guys, come on, Judas betrays them. That wasn't something new at the very last incident. Every time you see him and the apostles are dealing with him, they're like, Judas Iscariot, who was a thief. Yeah. He was a thief. And then they start going back and they realize, wait a minute, he was always a thief.
Yes.
He never changed. Jesus was working on him. Jesus was dealing with him, and he still wouldn't change. He just wouldn't deal with himself. He wouldn't let God deal with him.
Right.
Until finally, it got him to a point where he betrays his own Savior. These boys are not right. But thank God, God's working on them. But this is what he's dealing with. He's like, there are certain things. You're not going to be able to do it with that lifestyle you live. You're not going to be able to do these things just because you went to church.
Right.
You're not going to be able to do these things just because you own a Bible, 2, 3, 4, or 10.
Nope.
You're not going to be able to do these things just because you put money in the offering or just because you put a wing on a building or just because, no. Your lifestyle has to match the authority that you claim you're walking in.
Excellent.
Amen.
Yes.
Let's go over to just kind of close with this a little bit. Let's deal with 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because when we get into prayer and fasting, yes, we pray for God, give us direction, God help us, God deal with us. But what's the purpose of fasting? So we humble ourselves, first and foremost. We get our flesh under control. We put our flesh down. We don't put ourselves down. We put our flesh down. So what? So we can hear more clearly whatever it is we're going after. Well, how about, Lord, I'm dealing with this issue in my life. I'm believing for deliverance in this thing right now. I need help in this thing right now. And you go into prayer and fasting. Lord, deal with me. Am I the problem? Because there's most Christians, oh, I can't be the problem. After all, I'm blood washed. I'm blood bought. I go to church. I pay my tithe. I worship. I even sing louder than Patty. And we've self-deceived ourselves thinking, I'm good because I went to church. I'm good because I put some money in the bucket. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You there? Let's deal with just a couple of things here because we're talking about this prayer and fasting because this is one of the great keys to getting the anointing and keeping the anointing. It's not the only. Everything we're talking about in these messages, they're not the only. But they're ways that we get there. This is one of the great ways that we get the anointing and we keep the anointing. Because our Jesus is our example, right?
Yes.
Amen.
And what did he do? He lived a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. He is God.
Yes. Right.
Do you think he needs to pray? Do you think he needs to fast? He's God. But yet he lived a lifestyle to show us this is how you do this.
Thank you, Lord.
This is why he said prayer and fasting is how you deal with some of these things. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, treacherous, dangerous." Welcome to the perilous times, because this is where we live. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." How do you deny the power thereof? We just read the list. That's how you deny it. Continue to walk in those things. It'll repel the anointing you're supposed to walk in. Amen. Now, in verse 5, if you actually know and you've got notations in your Bible and deal with your Bible, it'll actually bring you over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where it says, "having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." 2 Thessalonians goes right along with that and it says, if your brother, that means fellow Christian, starts to walk disorderly, separate from them. Doesn't mean shun them. It means you got to pull back from them. because their lifestyle, their action, their attitude will begin to deal with you. And like it or not, believe it or not, it'll begin to indoctrinate you that, wait a minute, they're okay, I'm okay. Well, after all, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It'll begin to deal with you. This is why prayer and fasting is so important. And prayer and fasting isn't so I can go hang out with them and then I'll go pray and fast. No, it's understanding, all right, Lord, if I'm going to do this, because if there's any hope for them turning and getting out of what they're doing, they got to remember where they came from. They're not going to remember that with me fellowshipping with them. But they need to know, listen, I love you, but I'm not doing what you're doing. I'm not going to be part of that little gossip circle. I'm not going to be part of that little slander thing. I'm not going to, sorry, that's not who we are. That's not what we do. I may have been that way before Christ, but thank you, Jesus, I'm not that way anymore, and I'm not going back to that. Amen. Now, the rest of the chapter is powerful, but I want to jump down to verse 16. It says, all scripture is given. Say all.
All.
Say it like you mean it. All.
All
scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Say profitable.
Profitable.
That means it's going to bring you gain. It's going to help you. It's going to advance you. It's going to increase you. So all scripture is given by God, and it's profitable. It's designed by God to help you. First thing it says, it's profitable for doctrine. These are the things that we believe. This is how we live. This is how we walk. This is why we do what we do. Because of the scriptures and the doctrines that we pull from it on how to live, how to walk, how to be, you know, what the word says that we can be. Profitable for doctrine. Profitable for reproof. It'll bring you gain if you allow the word of God to proofread your life. You take your life, you take your attitudes, you take your actions, you take what you do, where you go, who you'll do it with, you take it to the word of God. And it begins to proofread your life. Just like that teacher. You know, back for all of us many, many years ago now, some of us going to school, we'd put that paper in and the teacher would proofread it. They'd go through it and make corrections. Nope, that doesn't fit. Nope, change that. Nope, you got to fix this. This ain't going to work. You got to change this, adjust this. And they'd proofread it. Why? To belittle us? No, to make us better. That the next time we put that paper in, we fix those things. That we don't do that. We don't write it that way. We don't say ain't anymore. 50 years later, we're still using ain't. But it's profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction. Yeah, nobody likes to be corrected, let alone by the preacher. But let me help you with something. I'm not happy about this, but it's my job to show you how your lives are wrong. Amplified, classic version, when it says preach the word in season and out, and it goes on to deal with those things. It's my job, not for me to point, Angel, you're wrong. Now, he's a minister here, and yes, because of his position, there are certain things that I will say, hey, Angel, what are you doing? You're wrong. There are certain times, because he's an elder in the house, that I will, if I have to on certain things, I'll correct him even in front of you. Because it does say, the scriptures say it, to rebuke an elder publicly. For the rest of the people to understand, hey, we don't do this here. You know, that you don't hit a certain level and you can just live however you want, do whatever you want. No, that God does, he expects us to grow and mature in him. Amen. But the word of God, it's profitable to bring correction, to adjust, not just fix it so we don't do it again, but also to deal with us when we're doing things just flat out wrong, how to get it right with God. How about it's profitable for the instruction in righteousness? How to live a holy life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just walk with God today. He'll take care of everything else tomorrow. If you're seeking him in his righteousness, his way of living. And the word of God shows us that. It helps us that. Well, how do we do that when you get into prayer and fasting? Lord, how does my life look before you? Am I living the life that you want me to live? You died for me. You purchased my life. Does my life reflect that I belong to you? Show me. Lead me. Deal with me. You know, I grew up in that way that somebody wronged you, you got them back. In fact, I use a verse or two. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I know it's in there somewhere. You know it's in there. However, that's not how Jesus said to live. Especially under the new covenant, under his blood, belonging to him. We can't live that way. Why do you think Peter pulled the sword? Because he still had that in him. You touched my preacher. I'm going to kill you. Now, his motive may have been right, but his attitude was wrong. So the instruction in righteousness is showing us how to live and walk like Jesus lived and walked on this planet, dealing with us. But you're not going to just get that by simply reading the scriptures. You're going to get that in your prayer closet, fasting, which means you're putting your flesh down so God can begin to deal with you and show you, okay, you've got this area good. We dealt with this. Let's work on this one now. Amen. It says, verse 17, that the man of God or woman of God may be perfect. That means mature. It means you're going to grow up. Man, what I wish that the body of Christ would grow up today. You know what that means? Don't be so touchy. Don't be so sensitive. Now, there's nothing wrong with sensitivity. There's nothing wrong, but come on. When the Bible says sin is sin, and we're going to burn the church down over it, when God said it's sin, there's a problem. I joke around, but I'm not joking around. There used to be a day in the body of Christ in America where the preacher can say that drinking is not for the believer. And the church would welcome the drunk in. They never repelled him, never said he couldn't come in, and he'd be sitting in the back. The preacher would say that, and he'd be the first one, amen, because he knew he was wrong. Why do you think he was here? He's looking for help. He's looking for hope. But today you say that, and oh, my Lord, you'll get half the church that will leave. They'll walk out. They'll want to burn the thing down. They'll want to take you down. When God said that we're believers, we've been called to be kings and priests. And kings and priests weren't supposed to drink. You don't like that verse? The Bible says that wine, it's a mocker. It mocks your salvation. It mocks your witness. You think, you know, when you get pulled over, that officer is going to care that you were, well, I'm a born-again Christian. Yeah, you're drunk. Get in the back of the cruiser. You think your witness means anything to him at that point? Oh, good. You can be a Christian in the jail cell. I'm getting you off the street before you hurt yourself or somebody else. Great witness there, believer. It mocks God. It mocks you. It mocks your witness. That's just a couple of verses. I'm not picking on, and don't get mad at me, and please don't throw anything at me. But if you notice, I got a bigger pulpit now I can hide behind. There's actually metal in the front of this one. That the man of God, woman of God, may be perfect, mature. God does want you to grow up. God expects us to grow up. You're not going to be able to go through these days unless you start to grow up. Because there's so many issues and problems today. So many things going on today. So many weird issues. But it says that not only perfect, but thoroughly furnished. Say furnished. Furnished. That also means equipped. Equipped. Now forgive the illustration, but I think it's the best one that fits. I don't care if it's our military or our law enforcement. See, when they go through boot camp or the academies, the purpose and the design of that is so that they can be matured and thoroughly equipped, furnished. That's not giving them a gun and a badge. Of course, I don't know the weaponry that they would use today, but just going back is my, you know, what I remember is, you know, military, they're not just giving you an M16 and a 1911. That's weapons. That doesn't equip you. That just gives you some weapons. The equipping is dealing with you, dealing with your attitude, dealing with the way you think, dealing with the way you respond, dealing with how you handle things, how you're going to handle pressure. What are you going to do when the enemy pops up? Teaching you how the enemy operates, showing you how the enemy operates, so you recognize when the enemy's in operation. That's the equipping. The weapons, that just brings authority, power. But God wants us matured. He wants us understanding. There's an enemy. We have a devil. We have an adversary. He hates you. He's setting everything he can to trip you up. Schemes, wiles, King James says. But when you're fully equipped, You start to recognize these things. You start to, well, I know what this is. That's just the devil being an idiot. He thinks I'm going to fall for that. I fell for that 10 years ago, but I'm not that guy anymore. I see what he's trying to do. He's trying to get me into that little gossip thing right now. He's trying to get me into that little slander thing right now. He's trying to get me into, oh, did you hear the pastor said this? He's got to be talking about Angel. No, if I'm talking about Angel, I'll call him right out. But that's what the enemy does. But when we're fully, thoroughly furnished, equipped unto all good works for God's purpose, that he can help us, use us, be with us, that when the events do happen, when somebody comes to you, disciples, and their son does have a demon, disciples, that you've lived in your prayer closet, you've lived a lifestyle of prayer and fasting, that God's already dealing with you, that when that demon shows up in that person, that demon doesn't recognize you. And does it, whoa, wait a minute, we were partying last night. You're going to kick me out now? I thought the party was still going. We were just down at the sanctuary. Now you're in the sanctuary? Dude, what's up? That sounds funny, but you know that they mock us by calling that place the sanctuary. You think you're going to live there and come here and that those demons there are going to listen to you when you come in here? They know that you're confused in which sanctuary you're in. Amen. Prayer and fasting is one of the great keys. One of the great things to not only getting the anointing, but keeping the anointing. That when we live in that prayer closet, when we allow God to deal with us. I read these verses here, not just to, because we like to go to this verse and say, oh, I know people in that verse having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. No, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. Because when those demons start to indoctrinate you, lighten up. We'll just love them into the kingdom. We'll fellowship them into the kingdom. Well, if we just cater to them, they'll come back in. You're being indoctrinated by a demon. Now, we love them. We pray for them. Absolutely. We do all that stuff. But you got to make a stand. You got to show them, no, this is what God says. Not catering to. How about whatever you're doing in your life? Well, you know, I've had this issue all my life, and you know, I've been going to church. I don't think God really minds if I do or if I have or if I didn't. No, God does. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature. He wants you delivered from everything, not just some things, everything. Amen. But if you start to, well, you know, I've gone far enough. I'm good enough. The moment you start saying you're good enough, you're in trouble. We're never done. Until we stand face to face with him, we're never done. And he's never done with us. Amen. So the whole purpose of looking at this is not thinking about other people or pointing our fingers at other people. This is, all right, Lord, do I ever find myself in this place that I'm starting to get into this form of godliness? Am I denying your power? Am I holding on to things that I shouldn't be holding on to? Am I acting a way that I shouldn't be acting? Lord, deal with me. He'll deal with you in that prayer closet. He'll deal with you in that time of fasting, because that's when you put your flesh down and you can hear more clearly. Because your flesh isn't overspeaking the Spirit of God. This is one of the great keys. This is what Jesus was dealing with when he said, listen, this type only comes out by prayer and fasting. He wasn't so much dealing with the demon as he was dealing with his disciples. When we deal with ourselves, there's not a demon on this planet that won't respond when we speak in the authority and the power and by the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's the way God designed it. That's the way he intended it. Amen? So may we live in our prayer closets. May we deal with ourselves with this, you know, fasting. And don't, listen, the lifestyle of fasting, if all you ever do is fast when the pastor calls a fast, you may not like what I'm about to say, but it's going to be true nonetheless. Get ready for a life that's going to be miserable for you. You're going to be frustrated and irritated. Now, we do it corporately from time to time. We start every year that way. There are times even, you know, through the course of the year, we might call a fast, but you got to live a lifestyle in this. Amen? Stand to your feet. You know, many of us came out, I'm not picking on, so please don't take this that I'm picking on. Many of us came out of Catholicism. They're in Lent right now. Lent starts on Ash Wednesday and it goes all the way to Easter. The whole purpose and the idea behind it, it represents the 40 days that Jesus was fasting in the wilderness to humble ourselves, to get into prayer, to hear God. That's great. Praise God. Don't put your hands up. But how many of us, if we did do that, I'm giving up a candy bar for God. That's my service to you, God. For the next 40 days, no more Baby Ruths. But I'm going to double up on my Mars bars. Do they still make those?
Yes, they do.
Of course he knows. I'm not picking on with how it started, the intent for it. It had an honorable, but that's not where it gets twisted to. And most of us, we never did it that way. I'm giving this up for God. You're giving up a candy bar? You're giving up a soda? No, the purpose is to get before Jesus, to get into your prayer closet that God can deal with you. Amen? And no church, no body of believers is exempt from this. We all can find ourselves in that place where we get so familiar with, we just do things out of routine with. Amen? We got to be in that place. Lord, deal with me. In fact, everybody lift your hands to heaven right now and just say that. Lord, deal with me. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. This message was not at anybody. This was for all of us. You told me to preach this. I woke up this morning with this on my heart. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we take heed to what you said and we deal with ourselves. We get in our prayer closets. We get before you. Whatever that thing is that we might need to fast in our lives, so in those things that we need to fast, let me help you. It's whatever distraction you have. Whatever's distracting you from hearing from God. Lord, deal with us so you can deal with us. May we deal with that, rather, so you can deal with us. May we be in our prayer closet. May we hear your voice. That, yes, we looked at some illustrations about these demons, but it's not just demons. Sickness, disease, wisdom, direction, discernment. When we're asking you for help, when we're believing you for things, all of these things are affected by how we live. So Lord, deal with us. Help us. That when you speak, we hear. But we don't just hear. Your anointing is there to help us deal with these things. Lord, I thank you. You're such a merciful God. You're such a good God. You went after Peter even after he denied you and he ran from you. You purposed. You went after Thomas purposely when he denied you. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you're doing the same thing even right now. You go after us. Lord, we thank you for it. Help us today that may we get the anointing of God on our lives and we keep it, that we walk each and every day in these last days with your anointing, being led by your Spirit, anointed by heaven to be able to conquer each and every day, to bring you glory, to bring you honor. Help us in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I do believe that our best days are still ahead of us. I know it's dark out there. There's a lot of weird stuff coming, even weirder. You know, we see this in the scriptures. However, I do also know, according to God, that you and I are going to walk in the glorious light of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back, he's coming for a glorious and victorious church, not a bloodied and beat up one. It's not talking about the building, it's talking about you and me. So he gave us everything we need to be able to conquer the day, to survive the day, but not just survive the day, but also thrive in this day. Amen. And I believe this is one of those keys we get our prayer and our fasting life together. You know, Jesus dealt with this too, talking to the disciples. He said, don't be like the hypocrites. That's, if you read Isaiah 58, that's why it's going to sound familiar to you. Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites who stand out there and they pray loud so everybody can hear them, that those that are fasting, they put on the sackcloth and they look all down and, oh, I'm starving, look at me, I'm fasting. Don't be like that. It's not a new problem. They dealt with it in the Old Testament. They dealt with it with Jesus. We're dealing with it today. We just deal with us. And God's promise is he'll show up, he'll help us, he'll deal with us, and he'll strengthen us. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, give the Lord a good hand clap in here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paris is coming up. She's got a couple of quick announcements. Give her just a moment and then go in God. But I would say this, and she may add to this also. If you need prayer for anything, please come down here at the end of service. We've got altar ministers down here. They'd be honored to pray with you and to help you and to encourage you. Also, if you've never met Jesus Christ, you've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, because that's where all this started. You can pray, you can come to church all you want, but you'll never enjoy anything that God has for you unless you meet him and walk with him. If you've never done that, come down here and they'll pray with you. Amen? Don't leave here without doing that. In fact, Lord Jesus, help us right now. May we rededicate our lives. That was said at the beginning of service, selling out to you. Help us right now to walk closer to you than ever before, to be led by you like never before, so we can do everything you called us to do. Lord, if there's anybody in here dealing with that right now, you're dealing with them. May they have the boldness to come down and talk with Angel and Fatima and whoever else is up here. Give their life to you today. And you can do that even right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. You died for me so I can live for you. There's a little bit more to that, but it's amazing. God will meet you where you're at. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for helping us. Thank you. In fact, just say that right now. Lord, thank you. Amen. Amen. Forgive me, I didn't say this at the beginning of service, but I was with my pastor all week long, and he said to say hi and greet everybody. Dr. Barkley loves you. He's praying for you. And he's doing good. Man, I know he's still bouncing back from that heart deal he had, but I'm telling you right now, he's back 100%. There's no question about that. Praise God. So thank you for praying for my pastor. I love you. I call you blessed. Paris.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.